from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu. AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/wv. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia, online at wvhtf.org.
At the legislature today, members of the Senate take on a bill to expand broadband internet access and debate another that would allow online fantasy sports gaming in West Virginia. Delegates attempt to make changes to a bill that would require a photo ID to vote. And the Dean of West Virginia University's Health Sciences joins us to discuss the many health-related bills making their way through the State House. Those stories and more coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. A bill to increase the state's tobacco tax did not make its way to the Senate floor today after being approved by the chamber's Finance Committee yesterday. Senate Finance Chair Mike Hall explained the bill was not being held up. Instead, a complicated amendment accepted by the committee to increase the tax on cigarettes by $1 and commit a portion of the funding to the public employee health insurance program was slowing down the process. He says the bill will be reported to the chamber tomorrow. As senators have discussed the legislation, they say it has two purposes. The first and most obvious, to aid the state's budget. But the second is to positively impact the health of West Virginians. Here to discuss the implications of the tax increase and of other health-related bills is Dr. Clay Marsh. He's the Executive Dean of Health Sciences at West Virginia University. Dr. Marsh, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
I want to get to the tobacco tax, but first, we want you to introduce yourself to our listeners and to our viewers.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I'm a native West Virginian, grew up here in Charleston. My dad, Don Marsh, was the editor of the Charleston Gazette for many years. Went to WVU undergraduate medical school. Gordon Gee was the president when I graduated from medical school. Went and worked at Ohio State University for 30 years. Gordon Gee was the president twice there. And then when Gordon Gee came back here to West Virginia University, he called me back home, and it's been wonderful. I'm celebrating a year.
So the tobacco tax is one that you are particularly interested in.
Yes.
Because of the impacts to the health of the state of West Virginia. Tell us about that tax.
So the tax that that the governor proposed was a 45 cents per pack tax. We're about $1.05 less than national average for tobacco tax. We know that tobacco-related deaths number about 4,000 in the state of West Virginia. About $1 billion is spent in direct health care costs related to smoking, and about $277 million from Medicaid. We also know that West Virginia has the highest rate of pregnant women smoking by almost twice as much as the next state, and also has the highest rate of young people smoking. So a tax will tend to preferably affect the smoking rates of younger people, vulnerable people, children, pregnant women. And so that's something that we're very much in favor of.
The $1 tax that's been approved by the Senate Finance Committee, not by the full Senate yet,
yes.
But is that enough to deter West Virginians from smoking?
So we believe in the data that is that exists would say that the higher the tax, the more impact on smoking. But that level of tax, and even a 45 cent per pack tax, would sufficiently be high enough to predictably reduce the rate of smoking in children and in pregnant women, which are the first two groups that we really want to focus on.
There are a few other bills coming through the legislative process. Yesterday, we saw a bill approved in the House of Delegates that gives priority to pregnant women for substance abuse treatment in West Virginia. A bill you can support?
Absolutely. So we're very, very concerned, as everybody is, about this scourge of problems with opioid overdoses and drug addiction. And we know that in Cabell County, almost a third of the babies born are drug addicted. So having the ability to treat women to protect their babies from having addiction problems is really quite important.
WVU has also taken an interest, though, in other treatments, substance abuse treatments, expanding access to naloxone, Suboxone as well. These are medications that help people wean themselves off of drugs. Let's talk about Suboxone in particular, because that one can be a little bit controversial.
It can be. So Suboxone is a treatment, as you suggest, that keeps people from feeling withdrawal symptoms when they stop using opioids or heroin, other kind of narcotics. And so what the prescription authority restricts the number of patients a person can give Suboxone to 100. And so the bill tries to increase that. But the challenge is we want to make sure that it's not just using medication, but it's really also using therapies, behavioral therapy, group therapy, and also figuring out how we, WVU, we have people go through a 12-step program, much like Alcoholics Anonymous, which gives them mentoring and starts to give them an opportunity to derive purpose and connection to other people.
Last year, lawmakers approved a bill expanding access to naloxone, which is a drug that basically reverses the effects of an overdose. And WVU has been involved in the training process of using naloxone.
We have. We have one of 10 funded Center for Disease Control centers called the Injury Control Center. And that center really focuses on trying to prevent reversible deaths from injury. And today, the most common reversible death from injury is drug overdose, about 80% of prescription drugs. And naloxone or Narcan is the treatment, is the antidote. If you give it to people who have a drug overdose, it saves their lives. And we're training first responders to do this, and we've had tremendous success.
Over the past year, you mentioned you've been here for a full year now.
Yeah.
Congratulations on
Thank
that.
You.
We're happy to have you. But over this past year, you've seen cuts to the higher education system. How is that affecting health sciences in particular?
Sure. Well, I mean, of course, we're citizens of this state, and we are also willing to reduce our efforts as other people have. So what we're really trying to do, though, we're trying to create a level of excellence and high performance so that we can really care for the citizens of our state and collaborate so that we can help other physicians and other of the schools here do the work that they do. So although that we have felt the cuts like everybody else has, we have also continued to try to grow in a way that we can truly help people with a level of excellence perhaps that we can use to complement the other practitioners here.
So a West Virginia native who spent 30 years outside of the state and decided to return home, what are you hoping you can do in this position to impact the health of West Virginians?
Well, I think that for me, starting with the purpose is always important. And I think my purpose when I came back was to improve the health of the state of West Virginia. And what I've discovered since I've been back, that I really feel connected to my dad and his position on helping the vulnerable people of the state. And so I believe the call that we all have at West Virginia University and in the state is to change the future of our state and to change the well-being of our population.
Dr. Clay Marsh from WVU Health Sciences, thank you so much for joining us. West Virginia could soon be in the business of broadband after a bill was approved in the Senate today. Backed by the chamber's youngest member, the bill would authorize West Virginia to build a middle mile network, an internet highway of sorts, to expand broadband access into more rural areas. Following that vote, senators also debated a bill to legalize what some classify as a new form of gambling, fantasy sports. Senator Chris Walters has spent the past year refining his bill to create a government-owned middle-mile network in West Virginia. Like a highway, the senator explained the state will maintain and own the infrastructure, charging private companies only the cost of upkeep to connect to the system that's built using bond revenues. Under the bill, private companies like Comcast or Suddenlink or municipalities would take business plans to the West Virginia Water Development Authority that guarantee they will connect to a portion portion of the state's middle mile if it's built in a certain area. If the plan is approved by the authority, the board could then bond the project.
That way we have more security for the state of West Virginia, and we're not just leaving ourselves open for a liability where somebody might not get on the lines that we build in some areas.
The bill also requires state agencies like the Department of Education and the Department of Health and Human Resources to apply for federal grant dollars to expand access. One Democratic senator and two Republicans stood to speak against the bill, saying they believe the state government should leave the internet business to the private sector. Senate Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael was one of those senators. Carmichael is an employee of Frontier, one of the largest internet providers in West Virginia, who has spoken out against the legislation. Pointing to a report from the Federal Communications Commission, Carmichael says access to broadband in the state has improved in recent years. Walters defended the bill.
But one of the things highlighted in the report that companies and everyone against this bill fails to mention is West Virginia is rated 48th in the United States. 48th. That's what that report says. We've moved up. We've moved up. But we've moved up to 48th. That's where we are. One in four jobs in the 21st century economy are created in technology. One in four jobs. If you're a company looking to build a technology firm, and you see West Virginia's 48th, are we first on your list? Are we going to get that investment? We're not going to. You want a diversified economy? You want to get West Virginia a diverse economy? This is the way to do it in the 21st century.
Senators voted 29-5 in favor of the bill, sending it on to the House of Delegates. Walter says he will be meeting with House committee chairs, offering to testify in support of the legislation. Senators also debated a bill Thursday that allows online fantasy sports leagues to operate in West Virginia. The leagues allow participants to draft fantasy teams and compete against each other for money. Senator John Unger questioned the Senate's Judiciary Chair, Charles Trump, about the bill.
I heard the argument that gambling is the game of chance, but this is the game of skill. And so because of that, that's not gambling. Is that the premise that...
I heard that argument as well.
Okay, so with statistics and analysis of players, okay, and that's what this game does, right? And you're...
As far as I know, Senator.
Okay. So, because you said that you didn't think it was gambling because of that, you look at statistics, you look at analysis of the different players. What is the difference between looking at statistics and analysis of various sports players or horse racing? When you look at horses, a number of races that they won, the jockeys. I mean, you know, when you go to horse racing, you get a spreadsheet. And you get all these statistical analysis of the past races on horses. So other than we're now looking at people and we're betting on the performance of people versus a horse, what would be the difference in regards to that nature, one's gambling and one's not? What would be the difference in that?
Trump explained horse racing maintains that element of chance. Unger spoke against the bill, saying it allows these industries to go after children and young people and promotes potential gambling addictions. Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler spoke against the bill for a different reason.
I think we're making a very significant and important public policy decision that is going to condone a form of gambling without any oversight, regulation, and more importantly, the ability for the state of West Virginia, if it deems so, and this body and our companions across the way, to assess some type of fee or tax or whatever on it.
Kessler says previously approved forms of gaming have been regulated and assessed fees were then used to build schools, fund senior programs, and create the Promise Scholarship. But supporters of the bill, like Senator Craig Blair, maintain the leagues are not gambling. In response to Kessler, Blair says the state will make some money off of a participant's winnings.
They have to declare it on their taxes over a certain amount. Other than that, the state doesn't get anything. Oh, woe is me. For somebody going out and having a little bit of an opportunity to be entertained in a game of skill. Not gambling, but skill.
The bill was approved 18-16, but not along party lines. There was a mix of party support and opposition.
In the House, members will vote on a contentious piece of legislation tomorrow, a bill that would require West Virginians to show a form of identification at their polling place. Liz McCormick reports the bill saw some changes on the floor today.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4013.
House Bill 4013, the voter ID bill, would require West Virginia voters to show a photo ID or some kind of other official documentation to prove their identity before voting at the polls. A voter without proper documentation will be allowed to vote on a provisional ballot. Supporters of the bill say it will help avoid voter fraud and make vote counting more reliable. But those opposed say it will keep people from the polls, bringing in another step to the voting process and possibly increase wait times. Delegate Justin Markham, a Democrat from Mingo County, proposed an amendment to the bill Thursday that would prohibit a family member of a candidate or an official write-in candidate from helping a disabled person in a voting booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, it provides integrity, transparency, and fairness to our voting. It protects our election process, and I encourage you to support the amendment.
Markham's amendment failed. A second amendment came from Democrat Sean Fluharty of Ohio County. It would require the Department of Motor Vehicles to ask if someone is registered and if they'd like to register to vote upon a visit. But opponents pointed out the provision is already part of federal law, and the amendment was rejected. The third and final amendment came from Delegate Mike Pushkin, a Democrat from Kanawha County. His amendment would allow someone over the age of 70 to renew their license at the DMV with a religious family heirloom to show proof of birth. The amendment was accepted. Republican Delegate Patrick Lane is the lead sponsor of the bill, and he says he thinks Pushkin's amendment strengthens the bill.
If a person over the age of 70 goes to the DMV to renew their license and they are unable to provide a birth certificate, the issue is that, you know, sometimes those old birth certificates are missing. There may not have been even one generated, so it may be lost. And so DMV currently has a policy that you could bring in a series of other items. One of those items is a family Bible. And Delegate Pushkin's concern, I think, was that Bible is a specific religious document. It identifies a specific religion. And there obviously are provisions in our West Virginia State Constitution that prohibit recognizing a particular religion. And so his language provides a general religious document exception to that.
The voter ID bill will be up for a final vote in the House tomorrow. For the legislature today, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
Greg Basso was appointed to the West Virginia Senate in 2015 to replace former Senator Clark Barnes, the Senate clerk. Basso is a Republican from Nicholas County. He represents the 11th Senatorial District. Senator Basso serves as the chair of the Senate Committee on Energy, Industry, and Mining. Delegate Mike Pushkin is a Democrat from Kanawha County. He represents the House's 37th District. Elected in 2014, Delegate Pushkin serves as the Minority Vice Chair of the Committee on Homeland Security. Patrick Lane was elected to the House of Delegates in 2004. A Republican, he represents the 38th House District from Kanawha County. Delegate Lane serves as the Vice Chair of the House Judiciary Committee.
This year, West Virginia seniors are making sure their voices are heard on a variety of subjects, from access to health care to access to broadband internet. Here this evening to discuss a few of the pieces of legislation of interest to the group is Angela Vance, the Associate Director of the West Virginia AARP. And joining her is Hallie Mason. She's the owner of Mason Consulting. Hallie, you're here this evening representing the West Virginia Nurses Association because there's one bill in particular that they're backing. This bill removes limitations of nurse practitioners. Can you tell us about that legislation?
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. House Bill 4334 is a bipartisan bill that has broad support at this time. It increases access to health care for West Virginia consumers by retiring outdated and overregulated health care laws. The bill will allow nurse practitioners to practice independently. And nurse practitioners are nurses who, of course, have their RN degrees, but have gone on and attained additional education through a master's degree or a doctoral degree, and they have quite a bit of additional clinical training. Many of us see nurse practitioners when we go for healthcare considerations to various offices. And it's important to point out that nurse practitioners receive national certifications. So all nurse practitioners take a test, a very rigorous test, and are equally certified.
So, Angela, why is this bill important to the AARP?
Well, thanks, Ashton, for having us on this evening. Based on state surveys of nearly 300,000 AARP members, we know that one in six West Virginians serve as family caregivers. Family caregivers and their loved ones want and deserve access to healthcare services in their community, near their homes, and in their homes, for that matter. And so we feel like the legislation that we're discussing this evening helps that access for those family caregivers and their loved ones, many West Virginians who we know want to live independently in their homes.
Hallie, are other states taking up this kind of legislation?
Absolutely. 21 states plus the District of Columbia have already retired these outdated regulations, and they're seeing great success in attracting healthcare professionals to more rural areas. The state of Arizona has seen a significant increase in serving people in their communities in rural areas.
Well, I think it's fair to say that access to healthcare in rural West Virginia is a big issue for the state.
Absolutely.
Angela, you all are working with a variety of groups on this. You all said it's got broad support.
Absolutely. We're happy to work with the West Virginia Nurses Association. Of course, AARP and our members are interested in this issue. And it's interesting because the local media here in West Virginia, and actually the Washington Post recently noticed how broad the coalition is. So there was a public hearing on this bill recently, and many groups, 20 plus groups, got up to speak. So AARP and the Nurses Association, Americans for Prosperity, funeral directors. Recently, we hosted a former fellow from the Heritage Foundation who's written extensively about this subject and the success that other states are having when they retire these over-regulated laws in states across the country that Hallie mentioned. And so we're so thrilled with the support, and it's so wide-ranging. People in West Virginia need and want access to healthcare services, and this is an opportunity for the state to really take a strategic step in helping provide those services, not just for our aging population, but for the newly insured population in the state as well.
So there is this wide variety of support. Is there anyone who's against it?
Well, I would share with you, we even had a letter from the Federal Trade Commission encouraging this type of legislation to retire the regulations. We do have many letters from doctors who support this, but we are finding that some folks in organized medicine do oppose this.
Okay. So where is the bill now? Where does it stand?
So currently the bill was taken up in the House Health Committee, and it passed the House Health Committee. It was then second referenced to the House Committee on Government Organization. We've been working with the members of the Government Organization Committee, and we're very hopeful that that bill will be heard by that committee next. Of course, then it goes to the full House and then heads to the Senate.
Okay. Is there a reason that you all could see this bill stalling or see it stopping, or do you think it's on a path for passage?
We have no reason to see why the process won't work and that members will have the opportunity to vote on this legislation.
Okay. Angela, we saw in a story just then, we saw that the Senate today, passed a bill to expand broadband access in West Virginia. And that's also something that the AARP has gotten behind.
Absolutely. You know, as Senator Walter said in the earlier piece, we're 48th in the country when it comes to high-speed internet access availability to our citizens. And we talked earlier about family caregivers in West Virginia. One in six West Virginians serves as a family caregiver. And we know that people want to remain in their homes and live independently. Access to high-speed internet is another tool to help people live and stay at home. It keeps them connected. It prevents isolation. It encourages people to use telemedicine and other technologies that are available to them. And so we're excited that the legislature is looking at this legislation and sort of taking the first step to making sure that everyone in West Virginia has access to high-speed internet. And I think that the private sector does a great job of providing many many of the services. But it's in those rural areas. We have to continue. We've heard about the interstate system in the middle miles and the last miles. And so we have to build out the middle miles. We have to get the last mile built and so that we can serve all the citizens of West Virginia. Again, in the economy that we live in the century that we live in, we need access to high-speed internet for everyone.
Angela Vance with the West Virginia AARP and Hallie Mason with Mason Consulting representing the West Virginia Nurses Association. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Monday on our show, we brought you a conversation about the controversial Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The bill was approved by the House of Delegates and now sits in the hands of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The bill, however, has sparked several floor speeches from members of the upper chamber, and tomorrow on our show, we'll recap those speeches from the Senate this week regarding the bill. This has been The Legislature Today. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us.
Support for the Legislature Today is provided by the following.
West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu. AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State, online at aarp.org/wv. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia, online at wvhtf.org. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting.